Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering DC Superhero Girls Intergalactic Games.
They're back.
They are back. I think this is the last time we see this version of DC Superhero Girls, though. There is a Lego one.
Okay. I like this one. I thought this one...
Sorry,
I like this one the most, I think.
Tell why. They do come back. There is an old movie. But, yeah, no, this is... I'm surprised how much I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Though, considering it's aimed at young girls, some of the messages are a bit...
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know how preachy they always have to be, or how, like, super positive, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think this one just had the best story of all of them, and they weren't quite as childish.
Yeah. So, we start with Metal Man attacking a random diner.
Yeah.
Whilst Supergirl is fighting two robots that actually belong in my other podcast, built by Barbara Gordon and Bumble, which absolutely are the right two people to be making robots in this universe. Before we get a fight between Supergirl, Bumble, Batgirl, Wonder Woman, Starfire, and Flash against Iron, Platinum, and I can't remember what the name of the other one is.
Yeah, I don't mind. I was quite surprised to even remember Platinum, to be honest, and that's just because they kept saying it.
Yeah. So, the fight takes a while. The end of the fight is is caused when Batgirl figures out, oh, we can use EMPs to take out
Which is good.
Yeah, it's good. They figured it out. Wonder Woman catches Steve Trevor, who's thrown off the side of a building. And then it turns out it's one of the teachers made the robots.
Yes, which is, look, we've had dodgy teachers there before. Uh-huh. Like, it's a thing for this school.
But unlike other times when it turned out, the teacher is actually evil. No, this time he just got the calculations wrong and made
they're more of a mess up.
So this is the second time we've seen Dr. Magnus, the previous one being, I can't remember the name of it, Gods and Monsters, the weird alternative universe edgy film.
Batman's a literal vampire. That was bad.
And yet, still a better Morbius adaptation than Morbius.
Yeah. Almost certainly.
Yeah. I'm assuming I haven't watched it either.
It'll be on streaming awfully soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, but they'll still charge you money for it. So, anyway. At this point, we're also reminded that Barda and Cyborg are also here. And Dr. Magnus mentions that he's made a chip to make the robots sentient so that they can learn how to be heroes. Why he didn't install this chip before unleashing them on the town is completely beyond me. Unsurprisingly, Barbara and Amanda Waller are like, yeah, we need to destroy the robot.
Yeah, which they do.
And instead of disposing of it themselves, they decide to ask Lena to do it.
Yeah, which does seem like an odd thing that is entirely plot driven.
Yes, because Lena Luthor is in this film.
Yep.
And I think this is the closest we get to, Lena Luthor is just female Lex Luthor in this film.
Yes. I mean, yeah, she is entirely.
Yeah. She is at, even down to the, and this is done as a big reveal later. Oh, she's completely bald.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty apparent just from the Lena anyway. I was like, oh, who's Lena? And then I was like, oh, it has to be a Luthor.
Because Lena is an established character. It's not just a gender swap.
I just didn't pay attention, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just because she's established doesn't mean I paid any attention to her before.
She's a Supergirl. The only thing I've seen her in is the Supergirl TV series. So I think
same.
So, Lena Luthor, unsurprisingly, doesn't dispose of all of the robots and takes a picture of the chip, which she then apparently sends to Granny Goodness.
Who was quite fun in this, actually.
Yeah, Granny Goodness was great fun in this.
Yeah.
We cut to Apocalypse, where we have five villainous characters. And, it turns out that everyone's a bit distracted because they're holding the Intergalactic Games.
Which is fun. Like, unlike that first one where it was all, like, whiny about how Wonder Woman would, how she could prove her worth. This was actually, like, quite fun series of, like,
Olympic-style
games. Like, school games, school sports day.
We have... And we get a few different kind of build up things. So we see that Lena's hiding stuff from Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Sapphire's really excited because her sister's coming, and her sister and her get on so well.
Sister speaks much more normally than she does.
Which, considering she doesn't live on the planet
where they speak English.
Yeah,
which is just odd, right?
And Bardo is singing. Mm.
Which was a bit funny.
A gag we haven't really talked about that happens in all these films is, so Parasite is the janitor.
Yeah.
And they do this gag where he gets something just right and just perfect and it's in a wonderful condition, and then something happens and it's destroyed, and then he looks, he doesn't quite look at the camera, but he looks at the camera and goes, ugh. I can maybe see doing it once as a recurring gag. They do it three times in this film.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
Ambassador Beck turns up, who's the person who's running the games, who is an established character. I have no idea of anything that he's been involved with that actually has any long-term impact. That's maybe showing my lack of knowledge. He seems to be one of the more cosmic villains.
Yeah.
Or
that's,
heroes.
That's how he came across.
I think he's meant to be heroic, though he's not quite heroic in this. We also get the Korrigar team arriving.
Mm-hmm.
Which has the Yellow Lantern symbol as their symbol.
Yep, so they have Sinestro there.
Yep, so Sinestro leads out his team, which is Blackfire, Bleez, Mongal, Lobo, and Maxima. Bleez is normally a Red Lantern.
Okay, I don't really know them that well. I've read some Lanterns, but not enough to remember their names and stuff.
Mongal, the only other thing I've seen her in was Suicide Squad. She didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually surprised. I don't think we've had anything that really focuses on Lobo, which is weird because he seems to be one of those characters that pops up a lot.
I hate him.
Okay, maybe it's a good thing he hasn't had a real featured role in anything yet.
I just don't like him. I tried, but
Is he too edgy?
He's not really edgy. He's just like annoying, and like it's just the everyone thinks he's like so cool, and it's just like
that's what I mean, like edgy, quote unquote.
But it's not edgy. It's just
I know.
I just think in the same way as I don't like Deadpool most of the time, I don't like characters like that. Like, where I like Deadpool in very specific play, and I like where I've read Lobo, I quite liked him, but I wouldn't read, and I haven't read any Lobo runs because I dislike him as a character. But he can be good in things because I have seen him be good in things.
It's a bit like some comedians like this. I think Frankie Boyle for me is a good example of this sort of, in very small doses, is quite good.
Yeah.
But if they're allowed to kind of go on and dominate something, that kind of, yeah, just.
I think my problem stems from the fact that they're generally written by 40 to 50 year old guys trying to be 20 year old cool guys.
Right, okay.
So it sometimes it's a little bit heavy handed, and it's just like I said, I've seen Lobo used really well. And the same with Deadpool. Like, some of my favorite, there's an incredible run of Deadpool, but like, just generally it's just that, yeah, he, yeah, and here he was fine
because he barely talks.
I thought he was fine in this because he wasn't, you know, in this situation he's skewing younger and it works better. But I just think, you know, a lot of the time when the writers are that disconnected from the, in the same way sometimes when they try and write sort of teens, it comes across as wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's because the last podcast I edited before this was the Teen Titans episode we did. See, the more I listen to it, it's such an inappropriate tone that film takes, considering it's a young teen team. Blackfire is immediately hostile to her sister.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's the same voice actress plays both characters. Well, it will make sense since they're twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hayden Walsh voices both of them.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
She's done quite a few bits and pieces that I know she's played. I think she played Harley Quinn in the Arkham Asylum set Suicide Squad film
we
watched, and a few other bits and pieces. She's Starfire in the main Teen Titans, most Teen Titans adaptations as well. So like Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, the TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's a bit like Carrie Payton or John DiMaggio, someone who kind of show, or Grey Griffin, shows up in a lot of things.
Right.
So After Blackfire, also we get another thing of this. Oh, Batgirl has no powers.
Yeah. Well, they're going to keep like hammering that home.
I still don't understand what Lena Luthor's doing there if Batgirl's there as well. I don't get. I get why for plot, but it's going to. You already have a tech genius. Why do you need a second one?
Well, because, you know, it's a school. They don't. There would be more than one, I guess.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Granny Goodness shows up with the Female Furies and says, "We want to compete as well."
Yeah, we have, you know, why not, right?
And we have documents that say we're allowed to compete, which are just going to be hand-waved, and we're going, okay, fine, whatever. Also, for security purposes, Dr. Magnus has put in fingerprint scanners, which is actually a good idea. I mean, most of the characters wear gloves, but okay. Hello?
Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking about it.
This is the point where we have the reveal that Lena Luthor is bald.
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, like, in a young girl, that's probably very traumatic.
Yeah, and it's... I don't know, it's... I think it doesn't help that she's really the only character where baldness is mentioned. I don't know, it's...
I mean, they're teens at school, so baldness presumably isn't a huge issue for most of them.
I'm
just trying to think when I first shaved my head, and it probably was after school, so...
Oh, but it's more... I'm not going to name people, but I've got a family member who's had problems with alopecia, and it just kind of it's something.
Yeah, my sister has alopecia.
It's something I've never been comfortable with, is the kind of the bald of evil trope.
No, I definitely agree that. I figured that it was more the connection to Lex.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it makes no sense. Uh-huh. Like that's not how baldness works. And it's not how alopecia works, you know, but however, you know, I just thought it was a visual thing.
Uh-huh.
I do take the point that if people were thinking about that, they may have, addressed it differently.
Yeah.
But I think comics people are about as dense as I am on that right there.
Yeah. So, we then have an opening feast, which apparently they adapted to 6 more people showing up randomly very well.
I mean, I like how the games were fine about, oh, we'll just have another faction. It's fine. Yeah, we've absolutely. Got enough medals, whatever.
So, we also notice at one point that there is a... Lena Luthor has this green glass thing, which we like to find out is made up of kryptonite, and I'm assuming it's an established thing from the original shorts TV show, which are these things called kryptomites.
Right.
I have no idea.
I'm assuming so as well. Like I said, I haven't watched it, but I do know my friends love it, so...
But it seems like too much of a random thing just to introduce no explanation.
And I mean, I'm guessing we've had character development in the TV show as well, that we're not always getting jumping from film to film. But
yeah, oh, absolutely. So someone unlocks the door, and this is the first hint we have that someone is behind Lena Luthor. And I wonder who it could be with the Brainiac symbol everywhere.
Yeah, I wonder. Brainiac.
I mean, to be fair, if you were a kind of young, early primary school person watching this, you wouldn't know about Brainiac. So it's kind of, you're setting it up without revealing who it is.
And I always forget about Brainiac. Don't tell Connor, but I'm not really good on the villains. I'm just they appear and I'm like, oh, right, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily something I pick up very quickly.
So we then get, as well, Blackfire and Starfire end up having a bet.
Of course.
Which is, if Superhero High wins, Blackfire has to spend time with her. And for some reason, it's not sister Kinista or something like that, which is I don't know.
Kinista.
Yeah. And
like the card game.
And if Korrigar wins, I can't remember. Is Korrigar of something else? And I'm sure Korrigar is something from Star Wars, so I don't know if I'm mixing it up.
Yeah, I don't know. You know me. The names just. Yeah. Wash over my head.
Foreign planet.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it might be the base of the yellow Sinestro Corps. But if Blackfire School wins, then Starfire will have to join that school. And then through a series of coincidences, a food fight starts whilst the Kryptomite knocks out Supergirl.
It's quite a fun food fight as well.
Oh, it's crazy. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Poison Ivy, and Frost, because we can't call her Killer Frost.
Which is fair.
Which is fair, and it's probably the only time that I kind of went, oh yeah, that is actually something you couldn't name a character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she needs a reputation to be called Killer. Get the killer, you know. I like Steve Trevor. Can we just also talk about Steve Trevor at the beginning and how he has to get saved, and it's very sweet.
Yes.
I forgot. I was just looking at the cast list. I forgot about him. But
yeah. Yeah, Steve Trevor shows up, and I think he's more featured in the TV show as well.
Yeah. I like
him. Anyway. Yeah. So The food fight is broken up by Wonder Woman and Bumble. But despite the fact that Wonder Woman is clearly the person who put an end to it, Ambassador Beck is still annoyed at her.
Yeah, she seems quite annoyed generally.
Yeah. Because the big thing for this is Wonder Woman is going to be representing Earth at some conference or something like that. But it's dependent on her impressing here. I don't know,
I know, it makes no sense.
It just seems to be all Wonder Woman's arcs in this have been, you're really going bad. To be the most successful and you're going to be powerful, and then something happens and you don't end up doing the thing that you were expecting to achieve at the start of the film, but it doesn't matter because other things are more important.
Yeah.
And it's the same arc for three films.
I know, every time.
Yeah, so... And yet still, none of them are more problematic than WW84.
Yeah, let's not talk about that film again.
Let's not.
A film we don't have to watch for this. Hurrah.
Hurrah. So... Amanda Waller then is taken to examine the remains of the kryptonite and does the, oh well hopefully there won't be any more of those around as they're being manufactured in a factory.
It's like, are they? Why? Okay.
And meanwhile Lena decides that a good idea for the robot that is gaining sentience and learns by watching should watch all the heroes.
Which is a pretty good thing. I mean, yeah, they should. In fact, Prometheus and, you know, all these people, like, know how they fight. Know how your enemies fight. Yeah. Oh, Batman does that as well, doesn't it? There's another Batman one. Like, always make sure you can defeat everyone.
Well, there's literally a film.
I know.
Justice League Doom is Batman is Batman has developed ways to trap everyone, and someone figures out how to use them to kill people. which, yes, it makes sense, except it doesn't pay off in any way for Luther. It pays off for Platinum, but it's not like she has special tactics for each opponent.
No, she just wants to see... Yeah, but it's a sensible...
I mean, it's a sensible idea if it's used.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, the actual event starts.
And it's quite fun. I quite enjoyed watching it.
Oh, it is quite fun. So there's a race that it's between Flash and Speed Queen, and Flash wins. Mm-hmm. Ivy wins the whipping a target event.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun.
I do like the fact that Poison Ivy seems to have kind of been dragged to anti-hero status.
Yeah, already.
In that thing of kind of like, it's weird. It's almost like people went, no, actually having an eco-warrior as an outright bad guy is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those ones that as we've shifted, like as climate change and the climate crisis has become much more real to people, like having Ivy as a flat out villain is a little bit more strange.
Plus, if you're going to kind of pair her with Harley Quinn as well, which
Harley's also, like, to me, I mean, like, look, she's also taken the villain to anti-villain,
yeah,
anti-hero pathway. I'm not sure about that so much, but hey.
Yeah, so we then get Skeet shooting, I think, which Maximum wins. There's a high jump where Mongal injures her ankle, which doesn't really pay off in anything else other than Wonder Woman helps her, which is nice.
And yeah, it's cool.
Early on, it is Superhero High 90 points, Yellow Lantern School 110 points, and Apocalypse 50.
I like the game. They're fun.
And then, without showing any more events, it's later. It's 2:20 to 2:10 for the lead two schools. And Apocalypse is on 180.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Furies start to turn evil, and it turns out that their plan wasn't to join the games all along. It was to... So, Machina?
Yep.
Manipulates Barda to get her fingerprints.
Which is mean.
Which is mean, particularly because she uses, like, a nice story. Which is actually... It's actually quite a nice, heartfelt moment, and you're like... No, that actually would have been nice if that's what they actually did. But instead, no, it was a trick. Don't trust people from other schools. That's a great message. I mean, completely appropriate with the times we're in now, but... And the attitudes of some people, but... So, the Apocalypse girls break into one of the workshops.
Which is, again, good idea.
And they're looking for the chip, which they do find. Unfortunately for them, they are cut off by the five main heroes in this film, who are Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Batgirl, who are the kind of... They're the kind of really established heroes throughout the series. Starfire's going to get a heavy push in this series, and I can't remember who the fifth person is. I know it's not Barda because she turns up later.
I don't know who it is. Bumblebee probably, because she seems to fill in a lot of the gaps.
Yeah, which is, it's a shame that, again, another character that hasn't been pushed, which does surprise me. I particularly seeing how kind of Ant-Man's having success in Marvel films. I'm kind of surprised that, well, yes and no, I'm surprised that Bumble's not kind of been pushed a bit more.
Yeah, I don't know where they'd put her in right now. I mean, like, most DC stuff, live action seems to be getting cancelled as well. So, the film slate is very up and down. Like, lots of things have been announced and never happen, and other things are. So, you know, I mean, she would probably fit in quite nicely in if Batgirl, say, gets a second film or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, and meanwhile, one of the films, its main star's been arrested three times in a month?
Yeah.
But yeah, cancel culture totally exists.
Yeah.
So, Barda is able to help turn the tide of the fight. They even try and hostage Batgirl at the end, but they fail.
Yeah, Barda's really good in this.
Oh, Barda's fantastic in this. So, the superheroes win, the Furies are carted away in a van, and Wonder Woman gets her invite to the Senate. And they decide to try and destroy the chip.
Yeah.
But Platinum is able to catch the chip before it's destroyed.
Luckily, yeah.
And also, to be fair as well, there's a bit of smart intelligence shown in that Amanda waits to hear the chip being destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, I liked a lot of them a lot more in this film than I have in any of the others.
Yeah, because they actually seem to be thinking things through.
Yeah, and it just has a better feeling. It feels more like a film you could sit and watch rather than just kind of just put it on and walk out the room while you leave some kids in front of it.
So Lena fits the chip to Platinum. We then get a close up shot of Lena's earpiece, so it's very clear that someone else is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a random voice that appears at this point. That no, just ignore that.
Yeah, right.
So the teams are, so there's two teams left. They're tied at 250 points each. We then get a BattleBots contest where the winner is Bumble's robot.
Yeah, which is cute.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, what was your thoughts as a robot watcher of who should have won?
I think it was about accurate. I think there are many weapons that I would not expect to see in a realistic fight, but...
I mean, like, surely Bumblebee's one should have been furry. But then it might have caught on fire, so that...
That doesn't end... Any robot that's covered in fur, it doesn't end well.
But it's always fun.
Yep. But at the end of the BattleBots section, it is 260 to 250.
Yep.
And we then have the Biathlon. So it's Supergirl and Starfire versus Blackfire and... I think it's Bleeze. I can't remember.
Yeah, probably Bleeze. So confusing. There's a lot of names.
There is. There's all. I do. As good as it is that they're giving all the characters a bit of a run out, there are a lot.
It's
of
a lot to get used to.
Even stuff like, for instance, Katana is in this film.
Is she?
She is technically in this film. She doesn't do anything.
Technically is fine that I don't remember then.
Lady Shiva is in this film.
Yeah, I don't remember her either.
Harley Quinn's in this film. Doesn't do anything apart from... Her and Beast Boy spend half the film on a... It's actually quite awesome. It's a commentary table on rockets.
Which is amazing, honestly.
Yeah. It shouldn't work, but it does.
Fully into the commentary table on rockets.
Yeah. So, the Biathlon ends in a forfeit because Supergirl and Starfire, who apparently are the only two heroes that can hear when a fire's going on, no one else can go and... You know, it's not like Wonder Woman can fly or Bumble can fly. No, it has to be these two, which means that they concede the event. Which
yeah.
Blackfire completely doesn't understand, because if they had won, that would have been it. Superhero High would have won the event.
Yeah.
But the message has to be, no, being a hero is more important, which I suppose is a good message.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a good message. It's just funny.
Yeah. And the final event is the Hero Ball.
Hero Ball.
Which we will never find out the rules for, because it never starts.
Oh, it's a shame.
So, before it starts, Lena Luthor shows up in a robot suit with an army of robots controlled by Kryptonites and Platinum.
Which is amazing.
And the ambassador is insisting that they have to try and make peace with Lena Luthor.
I guess they're into... I mean, that's also a good lesson, I guess.
And
but,
I do,
you know...
I do like that throughout this fight, there's several times where people go, Lena, you don't have to do this.
Yeah. She's like, no, but I'm going to...
But you're outmatched. No, I'm going to do it anyway. But the crowd doesn't side with you. But I'm going to do it. Look, it is. There's so many times like, just be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it then means that they can then go, no, they're completely justified in what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she does. She tries to rally the crowd on her side.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a... Because... The people who would definitely turn against superheroes are the people who are in the crowd of a superhero sports event.
Yeah, I mean, actually, imagine
the
if there was
crowd.
A superhero sports event. That'd be amazing to watch.
But, I mean, it's a bit like going, isn't soccer awful to the crowd at an FA Cup final? Sorry, football.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
So, a large fight begins. Sinestro just goes, nah, not a fight, and takes all of his, and just goes, no, we're off. But before he leaves, Blackfire is the only one who goes, no, I'm going to stay and help.
Yeah.
It's not, well, I suppose the other characters, it kind of makes sense. Mongal wouldn't really get involved. Lobo might. Blee certainly wouldn't. But yeah, Blackfire stays and helps her sister.
Yeah.
Which Platinum sees and learns.
Yeah, Platinum's like learning really fast.
Yep, absolutely. And also, Blackfire and Starfire find that they combine their beams, it makes a super beam. Meanwhile, Ambassador Beck is a coward. And he gets really upset that Wonder Woman won't stay to defend him. meanwhile, Supergirl is getting destroyed. And it's actually quite horrible to watch, because basically four or five kryptonite robots surround her and start blasting her with rays.
Yeah.
It's barely hard to watch her for.
It was, yeah. But it was, I mean, like, I guess, like, we're projecting what it'd be like if you're younger. I mean, I didn't find it hard, but yeah.
But yeah, it's probably the most... It's the closest to actual jeopardy we get in these films.
It is, yeah. I guess maybe that's why I like this more. It felt a bit older.
Yeah. So... Meanwhile, Batgirl, Frost, and Ivy return with the anti-K juice, anti-K serum. They literally just change the name of it every time they describe it. There's also an awesome bit where Batgirl tricks one of the robots into jumping into the garbage disposal,
which is hilarious.
And then Platinum turns. And successfully helps defeat, helps save Supergirl.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is then able to dismantle the Lena, but all the time going, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do this, and then saves her before she dies. Which Lena gets very upset at.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. She's, you know, she's on her road to villainy as well, so...
Yeah. So, the film's over. There we go. The villain's defeated. Victory is ours. Blackfire has resolved her issues with her sister. Everything's good. And then Brainiac shows up.
Yeah.
And tries to drown Lena Luthor.
Crazy.
Well, that's the first thing he does is, yeah, we're going to... Yeah, I'm just going to tip over your van into the river.
Yeah.
Not high enough to actually drown you, and there's no stakes, but I tried to kill you.
That's true.
Brainiac then uses the robot suits and Platinum to create a huge suit around his skull ship.
Yeah.
It was at first, I was like, what are they... Oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
That works. Sorry, I could cut you off there. and even now, after everything, they're still trying to work with Lena. Barda goes, saves Lena and goes, can you help us in any way?
Yeah.
And Lena's like, no.
Like, why would I?
I do like that fact, though, that because it would have been so easy to have Lena look at it and go, no, you're right. This is the weakness.
Yeah.
But instead, what we do get is we get the heroes fighting this mega robot thing as it's destroying chunks of the school. And
they all pull together to fight it, which is nice.
Absorbing Barda's mace, throwing Wonder Woman into a tower so it falls on top of her. They then realise the weak point is the Brainiac symbol, because video game logic, there's a huge shining beacon where the weak point is.
Yeah.
And Platinum, whilst watching all of this, figures out that, wait a minute, I should be a hero. She breaks out of...
Which is nice, because, you know, you're getting a bit of a journey for her.
Yep, she gets an actual arc.
Yeah.
So she breaks out of the Brainiac robot and says, blast all your powers into me and use me as a conduit, basically to use as a giant gun. Which destroys Brainiac and destroys Platinum's body. And we then get the end of the film with a kind of presentation. Superhero High wins by default, since one of the schools just walked out.
Mm-hmm.
Blackfire decides to spend time with Starfire. Platinum is repaired, and Brainiac escapes.
Because Brainiac has to escape, really.
Yeah, I mean, we can't have anyone killed in this.
We may need him for other things. So
absolutely. So there is another DC superhero girls. There's actually a couple. In fact, I'm just having a quick look. No, it is not Brainiac in the next one. So the next one isn't... Okay, this is weird. So the next DC superhero girls film...
Yeah.
...is a Lego film.
Oh, great.
But it uses the same voice actors... and style as the DC superhero girls, except Lego. So I'm not sure if it ties into either.
That one's going to be really interesting, isn't it?
I have no idea which one it ties into. Because those are two separate continuities.
Yeah.
And they are continuities. So that's what's coming up. I think it's actually... Yeah, that's actually what we're doing in... about a month's time. Before that, however, we have a continuation of the Timverse as Batman and Harley Quinn work together.
Ooh. Hooray.
Yes. Hooray.
My two faves.
Well, I mean, it does have Dick Grayson.
No, it's true. I do like them sometimes, so I'm just being a joke. Just joking.
It also is the... In a film that is meant to be kind of a commemoration of the animated series, mm-hmm. They have a completely new actress cast as Harley Quinn.
Ha, huh, interesting.
Because they could... I don't know, they couldn't get Arlene Sorkin for a day. Which is... In all seriousness, I actually... It would have been... I think I would have enjoyed this one more if Arlene Sorkin had been Harley.
Okay, interesting. Well, that won't affect me, so we'll see how I feel about it.
So after that, we've got, as I mentioned, Lego DC Superhero Girls. We then have the second and final 60s Batman film, Batman vs. Two-Face.
Looking forward to that.
Which is the first... time they've adapted Two-Face in that version, because I think that wasn't that he wasn't in the TV show, I believe. Like, he's right. The only kind of major Batman villain not to appear in that series. And after that, we've got Batman Brave and the Bold and Scooby-Doo. And after that, Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
Ah, cool.
Which is an adaptation of... Technically, I think it's the first... It's retroactively become the first Elseworlds comic book.
Okay.
Though it wasn't called that at the time. That said, it doesn't share the plot or the art style with the comic book it's adapting.
Interesting.
Which, I mean, the plot, okay, fair enough, I can understand. But the whole reason that version of Batman exists was to have a Batman series animated by Mike Mignola.
Oh.
And it doesn't have that art style in this film.
Huh. Oh well, I mean, I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is...
yeah, lots of good stuff coming up.
That's what's coming up.
Or at least interesting stuff coming up.
There's some stuff coming up.
There's stuff coming up. There's a lot of DCAU films.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, we have a guest for one of those...
Cool.
For two of those episodes, actually, and I think we are possibly going to be looking for guests for at least one more. So yeah, that's what's all coming up. So, is there any other podcasts you're appearing on in the near future?
Moonlight ones, obviously. I just did another Into the Night Moonlight podcast. There's a lot of Moonlight comics coming out, so we just got to interview some of the creatives, and I haven't done an Iron Fist one. I skipped the latest one, so it's really this and Moonlight right now are my current focuses.
To be fair, there is a lot of attention on Moon Knight at this exact
moment. Yeah, it's the first time there's ever been two concurrent Moon Knight comics, and he's also about to guest in a billion others. So even though the TV show's over, there's going to be quite a few. So you expect me to keep talking about Moon Knight a little bit. But yeah, you know, it's settled down a bit with the TV show finishing at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, I'm still just doing the one podcast, the Rise of the Robots podcast, which I've got 4 hours of material to edit in 2 weeks.
Nice.
Because it turns out that one person was very right when they said that a podcast recording was going to overrun massively.
I don't know who that would be.
I have no idea.
No.
Definitely the smartest person I podcast with. but anyway, so Rise of the Robots, which we're actually... It's interesting, we're going to be recording later today, because we've actually got... So, a TV series that everyone had thought had disappeared, was never going to be seen again, has re-emerged online.
Ooh, so we're doing, that is exciting.
So we're retroactively going back to do Robot Wars Revealed, which is the backstage look at the second series of Robot Wars.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, fantastic. A little bit random, but pretty exciting. I'm excited for you.
So thank you very much for listening to the DCAU podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.